From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Some great information headed your way today. We'll get to our guests momentarily. I do want to let you know Dr. Brian Thomas and Dr. Jeff Tompkins will be in Albuquerque on March 8th. That's next week at Providence Bible Presbyterian Church. That's 13801 Encantado in the Northeast Heights. It's just east of Tramway at Encantado. There's a light there. And just behind, if there's still that little urgent care or some little medical office right behind that, but you can almost see it from Tramway. Real easy to find. And we'll cover some of the things that they'll be talking about. But with that, I do want to invite our guests onto the broadcast. Welcome Dr. Brian Thomas with the, well, let's start with a simple welcome. Gentlemen, welcome in Dr. Brian Thomas and Dr. Jeff Tompkins to ABQ Connect.
Hey there.
Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
So glad you guys could join us. I'll run through this real quick, guys, and you correct me where I miss the mark, but Dr. Tompkins is a research scientist covering genetics at the Institute for Creation Research, that's ICR, and became a Christian as an undergraduate at Washington State University, that back in 1982. He has a master's degree in plant science from the University of Idaho, a PhD in genetics from Clemson University, got that in 1996, and previously a faculty member in the Department of Genetics and Biochemistry at Clemson, and the author of Chimps and Humans, A Geneticist Discovers DNA Evidence That Challenges Evolution. And then Dr. Brian Thomas, also part of today's conversation, has a master's in biotechnology from Stephen F. Austin State University, a PhD in paleobiochemistry from the University of Liverpool. He's an ICR research associate, author of Dinosaurs in the Bible, and contributes to, or he has contributions to these as well. Guide to Creation Basics, Guide to Dinosaurs, Creation Basics and Beyond, and the Science for Kids series. Again, gentlemen, welcome in. I did want to give our audience a chance to hear from you a little bit on your background before we get to your latest work. Let's start with you, Dr. Tompkins.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Well, how about you? It says you came to the Lord in 1982. Was that you raised in a Christian home, or was this very contrary to the way you were raised?
You know, that's a good point, because I was raised in a very non-Christian environment. My father was a huge fan of Carl Sagan, the famous atheistic astronomer. So I grew up in a very unchurched, non-Christian home. And I was kind of doing everything every other high school kid was doing in the Pacific Northwest, the state of Washington. I was partying and doing my own thing, and I really got kind of fed up with that whole lifestyle and all the consequences that it brought and the dissatisfaction, and I just cried out to God in my car as I was driving down the road saying, God, you need to do something. I am tired of all this.
Right.
You know, every person knows in his heart that there is a God, so everyone really is without excuse. And so I knew in my heart there was a God, and I needed that God to do something. And so when I got up to college a couple months later, I had a Christian roommate, and we did a Bible study on where you go when you die, and I did not want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven and be with Jesus, so I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, gave my life to him, and received redemption in his atoning sacrifice for my sins, and I've been a Christian ever since.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but one thing that was really foundational was when I got to college, and right after I got saved, I was getting bombarded with evolution in my classes because I was a life science type major. So I went to the Christian bookstore and I said, what do you have that can help me with this whole origins issue? And they said, okay, here's a book. And they gave me a book by a certain author who is well known today, who likes to compromise the millions of years of evolution with the Bible. And so I read that book, and I had absolutely no preconceptions whatsoever. And I just read the book, and I said, this does not work. I mean, this whole model just flat out doesn't work. So I go back to the Christian bookstore, and I say, what else do you have? And so they gave me a book called Scientific Creationism by Henry Morris II, who was the founder of ICR. And I read that book, and I thought, hallelujah, everything in here is just, you know, rock solid. Science supports the scriptures exactly like the Bible outlines it in Genesis chapter 1. And so I learned about the creation week. I learned about the global flood. I learned about the absence of transitional forms in the fossil record, how there's no real evidence for evolution, and the whole nine yards. And so after that, I began buying just about everything ICR had for sale at the time. So I was a huge fan of Dwayne Gish as well and his books. And actually, Dwayne Gish came to Washington State University and debated an evolutionist there while I was there. And of course, Dwayne Gish pretty much destroyed the guy. And all of the students afterwards had questions, and they weren't for the evolutionists. They were for Dwayne Gish. So
right. Yeah. Well, it's not unusual to see people attracted to the truth. Of course, the enemy wants to do contrary to that. But listen, for both of you doctors, I want to tell you how much I appreciate how much work you put into your education, learning the science that does bring glory to God. I think often the Christians can, you know, science, God, keep them apart. No. And I appreciate you guys helping us walk through that for those that maybe do have, anxiousness about it. But Dr. Brian Thomas, welcoming you again into the broadcast. Everyone's got a story, as little or as much as you'd like to share yours.
Oh, I appreciate it. So I was raised in a secular household also, just like Dr. Tompkins, who I get to work with. He's right down the hall from me at the Institute here. Very much against, even as a young Christian, I had been saved, I was born again, but I just knew that science proved that humans evolved from apes, and that those apes evolved from fish. I mean, that's proven by evolution. I mean, there's fact, is what I thought. So a friend of mine who was discipling me in all areas of life, here's how you live for the Lord, and here's how you believe, take God at His word, and I was stumped, because certain words, God said in the Bible there in Genesis 1, he created creatures according to its kind. Well, that can't be true, because evolution says, and I knew that science proved it, that creatures morph between kinds. They don't have a long history of staying within a kind. They actually morph between kinds. And of course, Genesis says, a straightforward creation in 6 days, and that's only thousands of years ago. Well, that's not scientific either. So I thought, well, a friend of mine challenged me, my discipler, and he said, what experiments have scientists performed that prove, that evolution, that the Bible's wrong in these areas? And so I said, I'll get back to you. I don't know. I'll get back. And then he asked me the next week, what experiments have you found? And show me where I'm wrong, Brian. And I knew I was right, but I couldn't show him why. I just, really all I had was, everyone knows that this is the way to go. But I didn't have any actual science. I just had, this consensus is all I had.
Right.
And so he asked me again and again, and I kept dodging and dodging. And finally he asked one more time, and I said, I am sick and tired of you bothering me about this origins issue. I'm just going to have to live with the dichotomy of the Bible is right in some areas, but science is right in its areas, and, you know, just going to have to go with whatever I can figure out. And he said, well, I'll stop bothering you if you'll read this creation book. And it was the same book, as I later learned, that Dr. Jeff Tompkins had read, Scientific Creationism. So I pulled that book off my buddy's shelf, and I said, you know what, I will read this book. You know, so I had, in order to refute it, and I was going to come back to him and say, this is quack science, it's trash science, and here's why. Well, I read the book, and it totally transformed the way I think. And I just realized, not only do I not have anything negative to say about this book, and instead I had to go back to my friend and say, you were right all along, and eat humble pie. But it also explained the real world. The flood explains why we have rocks. The flood explains why we have fossils. Creation explains why we have such well-designed creatures. And creation according to kinds explains why we have creatures that, you know, that reproduce stably within a kind. And so it just really explained the world better than anything I had ever heard. And then my view of God was transformed, and I knew I could trust every word of our Creator and Savior from then on.
Oh, praise God for that. And, you know, one of the things, and I'll leave this out for either or both of you, would you both agree that God puts the proof out there, the science out there, for us to show the agreement that it has with the Genesis account? And as much as we might try to convince others of the truth, ultimately, you know, and we should share the truth. Ultimately, it's the Spirit who's going to do a work. I mean, you even talk about the books that you read. It was maybe what the Spirit used to remove that veil. The reason I bring it up is I think as Christians, often we try to beat our heads against the wall. Don't you see when others that have been told, you know, you tell someone the sky is green long enough and everyone else starts saying it, then it becomes a quote unquote truth. But I think I'm going to leave it there. I think you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, the Bible does speak of in 2 Peter 3, the scoffers will come in the last days, and they're going to scoff about this aspect of the gospel that we're trying to preach and share the truth that there's a judgment day coming. And then what the scoffers say, according to 2 Peter 3, is, where's the promise of his coming? All things continue on as they always have been. And there was no flood. There was no, you know, history has not been punctuated by creation miracles or flood miracle or anything like that. It's just been all going on the same as it's always been going on. Now, that's exactly the secular attitude and approach and view of history that dominates our culture today, and it's right there in the Bible. But here's what Peter says about the motivation that we have to keep that secular history in place in our minds, and that is, it says, for they are willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
Of the creation and the flood. Willfully, so there's a willful ignorance. So so until we decide to, like you said, let the Holy Spirit retrain us and reshape the way we think and be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we go back to the Scriptures, and that's what they're there for, to teach us the truth about where we came from. Until we lower our defenses, as it were, we're gonna keep God at arm's length, and I think that's what these evolutionary doctrines that I once held to, I think that's what they were doing for me. They were keeping God at arm's length, and that's not what he wants. He wants to be close, personal, and relational with each of us.
And Dr. Tompkins, did you want to chime in on that?
Well, you know, the evidence for creation and the global judgment of the flood would seem obvious to us, and of course it's all around us. And you know, now modern geologists are catastrophists, but they say, oh no, it was these series of isolated catastrophes all around the world and so forth, but they can't really put it together in a coherent model. Well, if you have the model of a global flood that produced all of these sediments all over the earth that literally cover the earth, that are sandstone, limestone, and shale, and full of billions of dead, buried things, and you you have a very logical, very scientific answer. And like Dr. Thomas said, when we look at created kinds, we don't see, you know, rabbits morphing into chickens and you know, everything reproduces after its kind. We don't see evolution actually happening now. We don't see it in the past. We don't see transitional forms in the fossil record from one distinct kind to another. And in fact, we have a lot of things in the fossil record, including creatures from the very lowest parts of the fossil record, these marine layers, which were formed early in the flood, like starfish and brittle stars and horseshoe crabs, buried at the very lowest layers. And what do we see today? We see the exact same thing in the oceans. And we see a lot of creatures that went extinct in the fossil record, but we also see a lot of creatures that look exactly the same and they're alive and doing well today. And evolutionists like to call those living fossils. But, you know, when we look at every area of science, it just fits perfectly with Genesis and the scriptures.
I guess we could call each other living fossils then. Well, listen, we're up against a break, and when we come back, what I'd like to do is give you each an opportunity to tease some of what you'll be sharing when you come to Albuquerque next week, and we'll come back with all of those details right after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
All right, thanks for tuning in. And we're right in the middle of a conversation with Drs. Jeffrey Tompkins and Brian Thomas of the Institute for Creation Research, who, and if it sounds familiar, you do hear the Back to Genesis vignettes that air throughout the day on KLYT. So we do appreciate the time both doctors have taken to join us here. And gentlemen, you're coming to Albuquerque. Have either one of you been to Albuquerque before?
No, never have.
Sure, I have, and I'm looking forward to some of that salsa verde.
Yeah, salsa verde, and the state question is red or green. You'll have to try the red and green chili when you come. But I do know one of the scheduled things that you'll be part of is at Providence Bible Presbyterian Church. On Encantado, just off Tramway, and that's next Wednesday night at 6:15. It shows Dr. Thomas talking about personal discoveries that confirm creation, and Dr. Tompkins talking about Jesus loves the little children, explaining red, yellow, black, and white. And before we kind of tease those, and forgive me, I think I had the information earlier. I didn't get it today. I believe you guys are going to, I'm not sure it's an open to the public event, but you will be at UNM as well. Is that the plan?
Right. The plan is
yes.
We're calling outreach. Yeah, campus ministry there.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, we appreciate you going to, the learning institution here in Albuquerque and bringing the truth. Dr. Thomas, let's start with giving you an opportunity to give somewhat of a tease. I don't want to steal all your thunder for next Wednesday night, but what will you be covering as you talk about Jesus loves the little children, explaining red, yellow, black, and white? I'm sorry, that's Dr. Tompkins.
Well, do you want me to go then?
Yes. I apologize. Please go ahead.
Okay, well, actually, yeah, mine is the second talk, so Dr. Thomas is doing the first talk, and he'll tell you about that. So, you know, one of the big political footballs, for lack of a better term this day, is how do you explain all these human races? And, well, you know what, the term race is a Darwinian evolutionary term that was actually invented by Charles Darwin and the people that were his colleagues back in the day. And so it was actually used in a very racist connotation back then, because Darwin and others, other colleagues of his, actually promoted human evolution from apes, and they believed that certain races represented more primitive forms of humans than others. So now we know that is not true whatsoever. So I don't even like the term race. I like the term people groups, because really everything goes back to Genesis, including where do all the human people groups come from. And so after the flood, we know from the story at the Tower of Babel that humans disobeyed God. They would not go out into the various parts of the world and populate it. They wanted to stay there and create, I guess, their own pre-flood pagan empire again. And so God confused their languages, and then they then dispersed across the earth. Well, if you can only communicate with another person, you're obviously going to mate with that person to choose a wife or a husband. And so, you know, it's just basic genetics. What happens after that, you create all these different people groups after that. And in fact, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about human genetics, you know, what causes different skin colors, what causes different facial features. And you know, we're just going to get into all of it. We're going to show how evolution doesn't support any of it, but the Tower of Babel incident and the dispersal from the Tower of Babel is a perfect scientific description of what actually happened and what we see today.
Okay, and then Dr. Thomas, as Dr. Tompkins mentioned, yours will precede his, and yours, actually, the title of your talk is Personal Discoveries That Confirm Creation. Is that some recent research?
Well, it's a fun and easy talk, presentation for me to participate in, because it's essentially telling my creation conversion story, which I started, you know, in the first segment here. I appreciate the time that we have with you on the air. So what I'll be doing is giving this some of the three discoveries that I encountered in my journey from doubting God's word, even as a Christian, doubting God's word. I ran into this and then that and then the other discoveries, which made me eventually realize, oh, wait a minute, the Bible did get it right. The Bible's version of history is defensible, and I can trust it all. And I'll give you one of the examples of the three that I'm going to share next Wednesday. It has to do with this famous fossil called Archaeopteryx. And I was taught in zoology class that Archaeopteryx is proof of evolution. It's exactly what we'd expect to see if evolution between a reptile evolving into a bird is true and actually happened. And so I thought, okay, evolution must be true. We have the proof of it right here. It's this Archaeopteryx fossil. It has features of a reptile, but it's mostly bird. It's got feathers like a bird, and it's got a long tail like a reptile. Well, imagine my shock when I was reading that book that we've both mentioned already, that transformative book published by the Institute for Creation Research, which, by the way, I now work here. How ironic and wonderful is that? I started off being a skeptic of what we do, but then was transformed by what we do, because when I got to the page that describes Archaeopteryx in this, what I thought was a silly creationist book, all they had to do was quote from the evolutionary experts themselves, and they all disagree with one another. So for everyone who says it's a missing link, it's a transitional form between reptiles and birds, another one said, no, it's just an extinct kind of bird. Look, it had feathers and everything. And so I just thought, wait a minute, I was willing to tell God that he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to Genesis creation because of some fossil that one guy says one story about and another guy says just a dead bird. And so then my view of God and the reliability of his scripture, it just kept ratcheting higher and higher, and my esteem for evolutionary science just kept getting lower and lower. Once I went into one issue after another. So looking into the fossils is one of the three personal discoveries that I'm going to be happy to share next week in Albuquerque.
All right. Well, before we go, gentlemen, I actually want to give you each an opportunity to maybe a little insight into the work you do, or maybe it's more about your personality. You know, my dad was a nurse anesthetist. And I remember as a child one time, because he did it, about 50 years total, maybe 45, 50 years total. And I remember in a younger age asking him, you've done this an awful long time. Do you really enjoy doing what you do? And I remember his response was somewhat, you know what, it's what I learned to do, and it's how I feed the family. But one thing I do know, you know, it wasn't necessarily during the operation where he was applying his trade. It was the bedside manner that he had with patients that I really believe that he enjoyed the most. And as you look at the work that you do, and you've both been doing for a while, what would you say it is about what you do that brings you the most joy? And we'll start with Dr. Tompkins.
Well, I would say, you know, really speaking to the public. So, you know, whenever I go to a church or an event, and a lot of times I've spoken to high school kids as well. And it's just so encouraging after you give your talk on whatever it is, that all these students, all these people come up to you afterwards and they thank you for it. And they tell you how much they appreciated it, how much it changed their paradigm. And, you know, I hardly ever get people coming up and saying anything to the contrary, unless we're on a college campus, and then we typically get students that come up and have questions and things because they want some clarity on some issues. But, you know, just going to churches and to schools and doing events and just seeing the positive impact and the way people's countenance literally changes. You know, you can look out over the audience and you can see people's faces literally, their countenance literally changes over the course of your talk, and they realize, you know, hey, the Bible is true. We can trust it. And so that's one of the things I appreciate and love the most.
All right. Well, it sounds to me, Dr. Tompkins, like there's a little bit of Barnabas in you. You certainly look to encourage others, and sharing the truth, it's got to be encouraging to you when eyes are open and people receive that truth and hear the gospel. Dr. Thomas, how about you?
Well, since Dr. Tompkins stole mine, I'm going to have to go with a different one. That's what I was going to say, and it is such a joy when people come up and let you know one way or another that you kind of let them in on some information that was transformative and that they'd never have known otherwise, and that's just a real blessing. Well, what I do science-wise here at the Institute, and I appreciate how you struggled through my my discipline, paleobiochemistry, struggled through pronouncing that word. It's just too long, and I apologize about that. But all that means is fossil proteins. So when I look in a microscope at, you know, let's say a dinosaur fossil that we have prepared so that we can look at a thin section of it in a microscope, and when I see that a visual evidence of protein still in the bone, it's a bone protein, and I see it in there. Those are thrilling moments, and I just want to share them with everybody. And I'm kind of like, I wish that everyone in the world was in my lab right now so they could see what I'm looking at. And the reason is we have so many fossil bones, and it's original bone. It's not replaced by mineral. And so many of these fossils have original bone proteins of all things. Proteins don't last very long. And so it's startling and stunning confirmation of Noah's flood. And so that's what I really get jazzed about when I do my research and see this evidence for proteins. I just think it's deposited thousands, not millions of years ago, just like the Bible said. This is a flood fossil through and through, and that means the world was judged once. It's going to be judged again, just like Peter argues in 2 Peter 3. Because the world was judged once with water, we have confidence that it will be judged again, because God can do that. And so we've got to get ready for that day. And I'm looking forward to the day when He rescues us. And I'm thrilled that I can trust His word from A to Z, Genesis to Revelation.
Well, that's Dr. Brian Thomas. We thank you and Dr. Jeff Tompkins, both of you, for joining us on today's ABQ Connect from the Institute for Creation Research. And we look forward to your visit in Albuquerque. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Be on the show.